Welcome back, brothers and sisters, patriots across this enchanted nation, those that have the privilege of holding liberty in their hands and ready to pass to the next generation. This is Positively American, the place where we not only talk about what's going on in the politics and the news of the day, but we also provide a solution on how we're going to save this country together. And that is why this is such a pivotal point. I am Braden Langley. I am your host, and this is going to be a show that we are going to scream from the rooftops, because we are going to dive into the Biden's transgender assault on Easter. We've got New York City proving the case how leftist ideology simply doesn't work. And we're going to wrap up with corporations finding out the hard way, a little FAFO if you're on the street, about how it simply is not a good idea to put your thumb on the scale and dive into politics. We got all this we're going to dive into with excellent precision. Let's kick it to the intro and let's get it. Beautiful people, we are back and we have got a train of freedom to deliver to the next station. So this one goes out to all the oaks of freedom, the aged, strong, storm-driven oaks of freedom. Those of you out there who have been around for a minute and know what's to risk and what's to gain and the importance of passing it along. But we also have a little carve out for the free little saplings of liberty as well, as we bring them along to their own storm and protected state of being as we pass the liberty onto them. So let's get into this. Because we got to talk about something. This is pretty key, beautiful people. The left, they have a massive flaw in their programming, which is why it never works long term. And it isn't designed for the long term, to be completely honest with you. Now, a little bit about me. As I mentioned, my name is Braden Langley. I run a YouTube channel on the gun rights versus gun control fight. And it's called Langley Outdoors Academy, and we've amassed over 525,000 subscribers and over 100 million views based around a simple principle. I'm going to provide what's going on in the gun world, but then we're going to figure out how we're going to fix it together, because that's a key point. And we apply that to the political podcast here, Positively American. I can tell you all day long what's wrong with the country. That's easy. That doesn't take skill. That doesn't take analysis. That doesn't really take much more than just being upset. However, taking what's going on and using it as a catalyst and analyzing the attack patterns of the left and then driving a plan forward to take our country back and hand it to the next generation as was handed to us, or better, that takes skills. That takes precision. And it's not just an emotional rage clickbait, which I detest on the most emotional level of my own. That's why we're doing this. And that's what I've experienced in the gun control versus gun rights fight. It never works long term. In its simplest terms, leftism is an operating system which requires destruction and mandated retardation of progress, because progress equals inequity. We can't have any bit of inequity. Equity is life. If you're on the left, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter that we're all in equal crap. What matters is we're all equal. There's no haves. There's no have-nots. There's no proletariat. There's no bourgeoisie. And now we're all equal, and we can all suffer equally together. Does that sound like a good vibe? No, it doesn't. But let's continue. So let's say hypothetically someone, an individual, can create a solution to a problem and be rewarded because people would pay for that service because they're solving a problem. However, that will create a have and have not situation, so it simply can't be allowed, so we cannot have that. So we may as well not have progress. That's the leftist approach. Think about it. Have you ever heard them praise a capitalist, an industrialist? No, they're always evil. Class warfare, baby. Because it's easier to demonize someone to get votes to penalize them than it is to do it yourself. That kind of gets to the root part of the problem, doesn't it? But I mean, I guess that's kind of another thing for another time, right? That's not really the point of why we're talking, because we got to get to NYC and Governor Hochul just destroying herself on MSNBC here. We got to wrap this monologue up. But let's take this on the other side here. Let's dive into conservatism in contrast to the leftism. And this is the part where it gets into the little saplings of freedom, the newbies. Conservatism works long term because it establishes a system where individuals can compete evolve, earn, thrive, and create. If someone, in the same scenario, an individual creates a solution to a problem, the market will pay for the solution. They've now generated wealth. That's bad in leftist circles. That's good in capitalist or conservative circles. Now, our capitalist system then rewards that individual and incentivizes others to do the same, creating a system that collectively benefits from individual innovation. It's meritocracy. If you provide a service that the market deems at a high value, you are going to be paid handsomely. And guess what? Everyone else is going to follow in suit because they saw you do it and they saw it's possible. It doesn't matter where your station in life began. It matters where it ends. And meritocracy is by far the most incentivized way to do just that. Or you could go with the leftist approach, live in the world of fear, disdain, anger, divisiveness, and division, and we'll all be miserable together. That's a pretty stark choice. And pretty easy when you look at that term, right? And if you want to prove what I'm saying to you, go ahead and look at the civilization in, not the United States so much. Go ahead, Central Europe, Asia, 20th century. Western Europe, that's a good one too. You'll come back, and I promise you, you'll find very similar things. It doesn't end well. But like I said, different time, different thing, different episode. But if we're boiling it down to a system, the left sacrifices collective progress for the guaranteed collective equity of a crap outcome. While conservatives and capitalists willingly join into a system of meritocracy where the individual succeeds and the collective society benefits, as well as they all race to improve it for all, but it leads to a major problem. The left can't engage on that. The points don't make sense for them. They will lose every single time when you compare capitalism to guaranteed equity. Every single time. Unless you make it about emotion. That's why they stay away from fiscal policy as much as possible, and they stay mostly to the emotion and tools of division, like class warfare, or racial divides, or insert problem here. But they capitalize on emotion and platitudes, and this is where the problem begins. This is the part that is so fascinating. And we're going to start with the first segment after that monologue. Biden's little transgender day of whatever on Easter. A visual day or exposure to vision or something like that. Something in the light spectrum. Understand that we live in a majority Christian nation. And I want to put this in a frame that a lot of people may or may not angle this on. If you live in a majority Christian nation, and you know that that is a hot button topic in a Christian nation on a religious level, on a scientific level, on a lot of levels, does it make sense, if you're trying not to divide, anger, and manipulate people, to drop a transgender day of visual acuity? I'm just going to keep on making up words because it all sounds good. That's what they do. On Easter, one of the two main holidays of Christianity in a mainly Christian nation. Now, this is the point where a lot of other podcasters or a lot of other people would go down the road of it's an insult to Christianity and it should not have been done and it was extremely insensitive. They all know that. It's no joke. This kind of goes back to that same thing that I said in my first podcast. Of course they do. We need to stop being upset about the fact that they did something egregious because we knew they were going to. It's no joke they were going to. They take every opportunity to go after the same group of people. It's open hostility. And now here's the part that's so fascinating to me. Do you guys remember back when we've been in conflicts in the Middle East and open war? And Democratic administrations and Republican administrations, to be quite fair, they won't drop bombs in the month of November because it would offend followers of Islam because of Ramadan. And an entire month, minimize all the impacts because you don't want to make anybody too angry about their cultural influence. Oh, is that Easter coming up? Yeah, that's a good choice. Let's go ahead and put transgender day of optics. Like I said, I'm just going to keep on going on different names. It's such an obvious poke in the eye, but it speaks to something that we covered a week ago in one of our first episodes on this podcast. They're doing it to get a negative reaction and also a positive reaction. understand this. This is where it dives in, and you have to understand the way that the leftist thinks. Their core constituencies and their demographics are wiped out emotionally. They do not have the oomph for another fight with Trump. I covered the article. Stacked that on top of the next article that I covered in the same vein, talking about how they're angry and they're upset and they're pissed. Same thing. Constituencies are angry, upset, and pissed, and they've got crisis fatigue. And then orders, a study come out of Finland says they're more likely to have mental health issues if you align with the woke and the progressive, not the Democrat. We're talking about woke, progressive, leftist here. All of these things are aligning to the fact that the Democrats, in order to court the far left of their party, has to continue to escalate the rhetoric in order to get the same amount of ROI. Return on investment. This is the exact thing that I was telling you guys about a week ago in an earlier podcast. They are losing the effectiveness because their demographics and their constituencies are burnt to a crisp mentally, because they've kept them at a level 10 of emotional reaction around Trump and anything Trump for 8 to 10 years, depending on how involved they are. Understand that's what we're seeing. Now, a lot of the things that you're going to hear around this is how insulting it is to Christians. Yes, absolutely. How insulting it is and insensitive on the timing. Yes, absolutely. But these are who these people are. In order to get the left ROI and get the support driven up for Biden, because it is suffering right now, they're going to do whatever they can to get their core bleed blue Democrat leftist progressives with the purple hair and the signs and the pink hats to get motivated, because they are not. They see a gap in their support wing. They've lost the middle of the Democrats because they've got all sorts of issues, from inflation to Israel to everyday cost of living across the board. Inflation rates, immigration. And so now they've got to poke an eye in the Christians right there just to make sure you get the far left re-solidified. Is that the tool of someone who's going to bring the country together? No, it is not. And it wasn't intended to be. It was 100% intended to poke Christians right in the eye, get you either at best irritated, and at worst do something stupid so they can pin it on you further. That's exactly what it is. And I wanted to address that for exactly what it is. It is a grand push in rhetoric in order to throw red meat to the far left progressive wing of the Democratic Party in order to solidify and buttress up support for them. That's exactly what you're looking at. In my opinion, and you guys can tell me in the comments, you can tell me in the reviews, in my opinion, this was much more towards the left than it was against the right. The right was used as the patsy to get the favor of the far left. Now, I think it's going to backfire, like everything that the Democrats have done. But anyway, that's what I think that they're doing. But you know what? Funny thing, speaking of backfire. You guys see what I did there? The next segment is a very long segment in a masterclass of backfire. Because we're going to go into New York City. And while we're diving into New York City, I'm going to play some clips for you from Kathy Hochul. And then we're going to wrap up with a never Trump, very, very aggressive comedian who has completely done a 180 because of just the obscene nature of what's going on. But that's to come in this segment. Let me just tell you a few things going on in New York City. I'm going to mix in a little bit of my expertise in the gun world. I'm also going to mix in a little bit of what's going on social, the social networks around it. But New York City is under siege by criminals. And it's not because criminals decided to all of a sudden attack en masse New York City. It's because the woke policies of the New York legislature opened up the availability for judicial systems and DAs to have the option. It's up to them to do whatever they want and let people out. You've got criminals going ham in New York City. Cops are dying, which is the officer Dylan, is what we're about to talk about in response to this. And their best answer is, well, we didn't do it. It's guns. Well, no, it used to be guns. Now it can't be guns because it's just too obvious. So you've got the subways, which are too dangerous. That's just, you know, that's not good for everyday New Yorkers. Then you got crime spiking. You've got a social trend right now on TikTok and on Instagram and Facebook of young women getting physically assaulted and punched in the face routinely. Sounds like a great place to live. All happen to coincide with woke DAs and woke judges letting criminals out because of bail reform policies that the New York legislature passed and then Kathy Hochul signed into law. And we're about to show Kathy Hochul and how she is doing a little jig to get out of this one, because she is caught between leftist policies and a hard place in a big way. But again, that's next. So while we're talking about New York City, I want to bring in one more thing that's really important. Kathy Hochul, this is the gun expertise part. Kathy Hochul has been an overt opponent of the Second Amendment, attacking it in any way that she possibly can in New York City, New York State, rather. She has made every single effort to thumb her nose at the Supreme Court when they passed the Bruin decision, which was a landmark decision on the gun in the gun world, which basically said you have to have history, text, and tradition in order to have a gun rule. So it's got to be from our founding because, you know, that makes sense. But New York passed a law in response to that, basically said you can't carry a gun anywhere. I have to do this. I have to allow you to have guns. I have to give you permits, but I don't have to let you carry it anywhere. It's kind of like when two siblings are saying, like, well, mom said I had to give you a glass of cereal, didn't tell you I had to give you the milk. It's kind of like that, right? But basically, in an entire city that is almost comprised completely of sensitive places where guns aren't allowed, like Times Square and like the subway, you have gun crime that is going up by a very large margin, so much so that they're deploying National Guard to the subways. They're hiring more police, going against their woke, defund the police, reimagine policing vibe. And then after all of this, they aren't charging anybody with the sensitive places laws, even after they actively shoot tourists in the sensitive places of Times Square. It's comical. But that's the backstory. Now let me get you to an MSNBC clip, because if there's one thing that I can teach you guys, the sapling of freedom that we are always encouraging, if you ever see a Democrat run to a hot-button topic like the murder of a police officer by two felons who were arrested once, one was 14 times and the other was 21 times, and they both had illegal firearms in New York City and killed a cop, they're always going to run to MSNBC, or as we've affectionately called them, MSDNC, because you got to get a very soft, friendly place to land and start your propaganda again. But I'm going to play a few of these clips for you from Kathy Hochul, because the wake was this weekend for this officer, and she got pretty much kicked out and then told there was blood on her hands because of her bail policies, which is not wrong. But let's get to the first clip. Al Sharpton, he's a peach. He's going to provide some cover for her, give her a nice friendly launching point for some propaganda response, and we are going to break it down because there was a very interesting pivotal shift here. Check this out.
People call a Democrat. Governor, let's start with the fatal shooting of New York City police officer Jonathan Diller, which has dominated the news in your state since his death on Monday. Former President Donald Trump attended the wake on Long Island Thursday. Yesterday, you went to the wake as well, and you met with family members. The tragedy obviously sparked a debate about crime, guns, and criminal justice, and many of us deplore the shooting of policemen. You've been consistent with that, but also consistent with everyone must stay within the law. What can you share about your thoughts on these issues as crime statistically has gone down in your state? But what do we need to do more of?
Woo! That should have had a political warning filter on it, people. Governor Hochul, we know that you do not believe in crime, and because crime is bad and you obviously don't believe in crime, how can we continue to not have crime in a place that you so obviously don't have crime? I mean, good Lord. So you are talking about the city that has been the leading edge spearhead of the woke progressive policies, whether it's against guns or whether it's for pro or it's pro-criminal, whatever you want to call it, this is the most egregious offender of criminals out on the street, to where it's an unlivable situation. And it's all about, well, crime has been going down, as you well know, and we deplore violence and breaking the law. Flashback warning, 2-3 years ago, I'm pretty sure that Al Sharpton was not out there saying the exact same thing. In fact, I'm pretty sure he was on the defund police train because they disproportionately affect black and brown and migrant families and all the minorities in the United States, and they need to be reimagined and they need to be defunded, while Mayor Bill de Blasio did just that. I'm pretty sure that I remember that. But now, fast forward, when it's actually a problem and the consequences of the policies come to fruition, now all of a sudden it's, well, we've you believe in no crime and crime is bad, and you've been fighting crime and crime, it's been fought under you, and it turns out that you've been fighting this crime so bad and no one wants this bad thing, and we should all not break the law. Al, you forgot to mention how she changed the law so it's more forgiving, so you can still be within the law, when that's the whole point. But anyway, now that we've established the propaganda soft launch point, let's go to the second clip where she gets to start her propaganda piece. And I want you to listen to the actual details and the words that she uses here regarding Officer Diller's wake. Okay? And this is the, goodness gracious, it's so frustrating. This is the most slimy politician way to navigate around a problem that you've ever seen. Remember, it's MSDNC.
Well, thank you, Reverend, for having me back on the show. And yesterday and today, the day of the funeral, it's been a heartbreaking experience for all New Yorkers. We grieve with this family, especially a young widow who has a one-year-old son who'll be raised without his father because of the horrific acts by a brazen criminal. And I went to the wake to meet the family and speak to everyone, from his wife and mother, father, brothers, sisters. Everyone is just so distraught. And yes, there's a lot of anger. Understandably, there's anger about how these individuals who commit crimes over and over are back out on the streets again.
Oh, hold on, beautiful people. Patriots, saplings, weather-hardened oaks. Did you just catch that? I'm going to bring up something to your point, attention, and hopefully this lands this point. For the last 3 years, every single time there's a murder, every single time there's any type of gun that's involved in any type of crime, that's obvious a criminal was involved, like a felon, like they shouldn't have had the gun the whole time. She has been the first one to go out and say, the epidemic of gun violence in our streets. We have a massive problem with the availability of guns. These evil gun manufacturers are flooding the streets with illicit firearms. These are all terms that they focus group tested and we dealt with on the gun controls, gun rights fight side for 18 to 24 months as of this point in filming. And every single thing ever was, it was a gun's fault. The inanimate object cause this to happen. They file off their own serial numbers, they hold themselves up, they defy gravity, they aim, they pull their trigger, they control the muzzle and the recoil, and they impact in deadly results. And if these guns just didn't exist, everything would be hunky-dory, we would be great. We need to infringe upon gun rights. Although now, a little bit different answer. All of a sudden, it's these criminals. The criminals did it. How can the criminals go to jail and release and go to jail again? What would cause a flip-flop like that? Well, I'm going to be honest with you people. It's called politics. Americans, New Yorkers, are waking up to what I mentioned in the introduction. The policies and the platitudes of the left are built around class division, racial division, everything bad about the other person. So give us power and we'll make it all equitable. Then when they start all their policies actually into action, no one likes them. Then they're on the defense forever. If you want to look at the American political cycle, that's exactly how it happens. Conservatives are in power. Everything is hunky-dory. there might be a little blip in some area, and the Democrats will come in, exploit divisions, and say, if only you gave us power, we would make everything right again. The utopian ideals and citizenry will be all viewed equal, and the government won't be able to do this, and it's all platitudes. Then the left takes power. The pendulum goes to the left. Everything goes to absolute equitable crap, guaranteed equity across the board, as they promised. And then they're on defense, and the right comes in and says, hey, we'll actually try to fix this with actual sound principles that can last the test of time. And then it goes back the other way, and that's the cycle that we're in. We are at an inflection point where the left is about to lose power broadly. The people who are going to bring the hope, the strength, the courage, the solidity that we need in order to run our country are coming right now. You're about to see it. And I'm not necessarily saying it's only Trump. What I'm saying is the left is losing the script and everyone sees it. That's why you just heard language shift from, oh, these guns killed this innocent police officer, to, well, these criminals did it. The criminal in question, I've already mentioned it once. One of them had been arrested 14 times and was out on $75,000 bail for a gun crime. And the other had been arrested 21 times. Both of them had served stints in prison for over, I think it was 5 and 10 years. These are felons. Kind of begs the question how they could get a gun in an ultimate gun control state and then kill a police officer while they were felons, doesn't it? Because we were promised that the left would guarantee everything would go away and it would all be fine if we just let more criminals out of prison. And then we also defunded police. Just saying. When you look at it for what it is, and you zoom out a little bit, it's quite obvious what's going on. But I got one more clip from Hochul, because this was just painful. Here comes the pivot. Watch for it.
Well, that's one of the reasons we worked hard with the legislature last year to change the bail laws so the judges have more discretion. And, you know, there's a lot of complicated factors here, but I totally understand the outrage of the family. I do. And we're working hard to keep crime down. But speaking of our efforts, you know what we've done in the subways, Reverend Al. We were there together talking about it a couple weeks ago. We first deployed the National Guard, which there was a lot of criticism of. But these are simply people that are as a deterrent, a presence. Crime has gone down since we added them to the force that Mayor Adams has brought in reinforcements. And so it's necessary to calm it all down. We changed the laws last year. Recidivism is down 40%. We're getting more guns off the street, but we have so much more work to do. And that's why my plan before the legislature brings more money for law enforcement, district attorneys, diversion programs, alternative courts, so we can get young people off the streets and into programs before they get hardened. And
oh, well, hot dog. I'm going to hit two things right there, people, and these are the most important things about what she just spun so magically, like Charlotte's Web over here. She just went away from the anger and the rage and diverted directly back to leftist woke policies. She cannot separate herself from her core demographic on the left progressive wing. She just gave you a hint of it when she said she caught flack for deploying the National Guard into the subway. She caught flack. Because the left part of her base, the left wing of her base, got upset because that was viewed as enhancing police. And then all of a sudden in this new budget, there's all this money for police. I would like to go back again to Bill de Blasio in his era when police were evil. And we should get rid of all police because they're part of a corrupt system. It's unfixable. Remove the entire thing. Remember all that? Kind of the who's who of the leftist gun, or excuse me, the leftist blue cities was doing it. But now all of a sudden it's back in vogue to have more money, almost like you reduce police officers and you increase criminals, you get more crime. And yet the media is just silent on this one, providing a platform for launch of how amazing it is. Okay. Well, that's the first thing that jumped out to me in that clip. By the way, this is all the same interview from MSNBC this weekend. But the other thing is something that I'm catching a theme that the left is doing a whole lot. And this is something that I don't hear in a lot of places. The left is doing this opening of doors strategy. And let me explain that a little bit. So in the scenario of which she's talking about, she's like, well, yeah, sure, we reduced bail, but we really tried to fight it. We're trying to stop crime. And she said something specific there that was interesting. It's all, you know, it's up to them. And there's a lot of factors. It's very convoluted and it's very random of what can happen. Yeah, but what she's not telling you is the judges and the DAs of which she just mentioned, they would not be able to take the liberties and be up to them if the legislator did not open the door and allow them those escape valves. So what you're seeing happen is you're seeing the left pass these laws that they say are well-intentioned around policing and around DAs and around judges and all of these things. And then they're leaving very broad language in place. So what happens is down the road a little bit, when all the laws pass through and the judges and the DAs are responsible for executing the law and the judges are there to make sure there's a fair trial and everything is applying according to the law. Well, if the law was changed upstream to be very broad in interpretation, and then downstream, you got a DA arguing to let this guy out because of XYZ law and some little stipulation and interpretation of the law, well, then the judge goes, well, I guess that's a good point. It is the law. She's trying to pass it off on saying the judges and the DAs have lots of leeway in what they're doing. Yeah, because they wrote the laws broadly on purpose. We're going to jump in the little Vespa and jump over to the gun world real quick. The ATF, the Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives Bureau, the one that's responsible for all the guns, they've done the exact same thing. They've taken advantage of the Senate when they passed the Safer Communities Senate Safer Communities bipartisan whatever BS law it was. I can never remember the names. It irritates me so much. But they did the same thing. Senate Republicans signed on to extremely broad and extremely vague language. It goes out of the chamber and President Biden signs it, and all of a sudden the ATF interprets it in different ways across the board from standing of, well, anyone from 18, 19, and 20 has a mandatory 10-day waiting period now because the ATF utilized that for extended background checks. Then they changed the definition of who is a federal firearms dealer across the board in a lot of different ways. You can check out my YouTube channel if you want to find out how they did it. But that's what they've done. They did the same thing when they redefined terms of Congress around pistol braces, around the dreaded ghost gun. They do the exact same thing across the board. The left is doing this tactic of opening doors and writing very broad-based language, which allows downstream for their leftist acolytes to do whatever the heck they want. That is what's happening here. And it has consequences because the platitudes do not hold up over time. They are beholden to their policies over outcomes. That's why you just heard her pivot from quite literally, this is anger and terrible and it should never happen, to look how many things we did and we're putting money back into criminals on the back end, which is state funded, to prevent them from being hardened criminals later on down the road. That's, you cannot separate that. They are pot committed. But now, just to wrap this segment up, let me show you a clip from Michael Rapaport. Now, Michael Rapaport is a comedian who has ravaged Trump for 4, 6, 8 years. Like, as far left rabid ravaging as you can go. All of a sudden, voting for him is back on the table, and you want to hear why from his own words? Here you go. This might dovetail into what we were just talking about. Check this out.
My political views have changed immensely. I will not vote for Joe Biden. At this point, when we're doing this interview, voting for Trump is on the table. People are like, what are you talking about? That's my reality. I will not support anybody who's anti-Israel. I will not support anybody that is anti-making America safe, that is cool with the fact that I gotta show my ID at least 3 or 4 times at the airport, but it takes you 2 minutes to cross the border. I'm not down with that shit. I'm not down with police officers in the greatest city on earth getting beaten up, you're a legal immigrant, and then you have no bail.
Flipping off the camera.
I'm not down with going into a Costco or a 7-Eleven, cleaning out the spot. So any of these people that support it, I'm not voting for them. I'm not getting caught up or suckered into these race politics or any of that anymore.
And I forgive the language. That was not my that was not my original content. But he's got a point. and understand why that's important and why this sums this segment up so nicely. Because everything that the left has promised has turned to crap. It's equitable crap, but it's turned to crap. We're all living in crap together, but we're equal. And that is something that is so easy to see. And Michael here, he's no conservative, but he's looking at the common everyday observation of what's going on in our country, and he's like, I'm not voting for it. It's that simple. And I've got news for you, beautiful people. He's not alone. Again, this is not about Trump. This is not about Biden. This is about left versus right. The conservative movement is picking up steam, and the left is losing voters. They are losing support, and they are losing consistency across the board. Their constituencies, their demographics, they are crisis fatigued out. They have taken advantage of them so hard, there's no more ROI until they go and they make a transgender optics day for on Easter. They've got nothing left in the tank. Again, this is not about Trump and this is not about Biden. This is about understanding that the left itself is unraveling. And a pivot is coming. I'm telling you, a pivot is on the way. In fact, wrap this up with a shorter segment at the end here. This is something that I wanted to address about the whole unraveling thing. So I'm sure that you guys heard Meta is no longer enabling political content without authorization, right? Big uproar and to-do about it from conservatives, from leftists, anybody in the political sphere. Basically, Instagram is no longer organically filtering up political content unless you authorize it and you want political content. Let's just be real. Effectively, that's going to kill it. Because the big power of social media networks like that is the organic discovery. If you are going down the road of, I hope I get more people following my brand or my message, you're going to want it to be disseminated across the spectrum. The bigger, broader base of population that you expose to, hopefully you fine-tuned your message enough where you are capturing that audience into your brand. If you are going from a billion people into a million people, the pool is obviously going to be smaller. The brand value is obviously going to be lessened. That's why you're seeing them upset. But that's not the point that I want to hit. Facebook, Instagram, those are both Meta properties. Mark Zuckerberg got called before Congress a dozen times, Republican and Democrat, because everyone got pissed. When you put your thumb on the scale of politics, whether it's left favoring leaning or right leaning, most likely left leaning because you get away with it longer, when you push down like that, you get a whole lot of flack from your consumer base, and you get a whole lot of flack from politicians because you've just become a very easy target to identify. Either you are putting your thumb on the scale of the politics in the nation, or you're just favoring one side. It's very, very simple. The easiest solution by far is never to get involved with politics at all, but they were bullied into politics, and so they became part of it. You saw the Twitter files happen. Twitter was extremely left. Now it's not. Facebook was accused of filtering out left-right opinions. They're just getting out of the game. Understand how big of a victory that is for us, because we've said forever that they suppress political opinions of the right and they encourage political opinions of the left. Well, now they're just pulling out of the game completely because it has no benefit. They are figuring out that a corporation's point in life is to offer a service for a population, not alienate 50% of it. You want some more examples? Bud Light was a great example. They're still suffering. Bud Light will never recover the brand image that they lost, ever. If you want another example, Planet Fitness just did the same thing. Interestingly enough, over the same topics. Isn't it weird how the extreme politics turns out to be toxic for brands? They're backing out of the political game. And this again goes back to what I was saying on the whole point of this episode. The power of the left, when they had control of Twitter, when they had control of Facebook, they could organize boycott campaigns from a small amount of people that were highly organized and make it seem bigger than it was, which would make companies back off and push leftist ideology. They've lost it. Twitter is now free. You think there's a reason that they attacked Elon Musk like he was the bringer of the plague? Yeah, because one of their tactics of the left was no longer viable. Facebook is now pulling out of the game. Meta is pulling out of the game. That's exactly what's happening. We are winning on a corporate level because the pain that we caused them was too much. Target? Nope. Enjoy that cost. The bottom line is these corporations are figuring out that it is better to be neutral and just serve their product than to be involved. If they get involved and fall to the bullying campaigns of the left, if you're not involved, you don't care, and I'm boycotting you, I promise you there's a much bigger swath of the American population that is conservative or independent leaning than there is far left. I promise. They're figuring it out. And that's just more examples of exactly what I'm talking about with Governor Kathy Hochul trying to defend this position, with Michael Rappaport going on a rant of some of sorts for 55 seconds about how bad the Democrats have made the entire country, which they have. But here's the beautiful part, and I'll wrap this up in a hope and courage standpoint. Our country is not a bad place. Our country is not a terrible place. It's not dead, and it's not over the edge. It is on a very, very bad precipice, but we're about to pull it right back. Because the leftist ideals are not working, and everyone sees it. You not only have long-term history, you now have short-term history to compare it to. And the outcomes are always the same. The people listening to this podcast are the ones that are going to turn the country around. Whether it's some of those aged oaks that I was talking about earlier, or it's some of those younger saplings, all of us together will turn it around because we have hope and courage and belief in the country. The left has hope, belief, and courage in almost nothing of their political viewpoints. It's all about what is just and what is equitable. And if it's perceived as not equitable and not just, then they're going to have a rage fest over it. It's empty. It's hollow. What we're providing has meaning, has depth. We're passing on a blessing to another part of our country's generational chain that they can't say they are. And that's why I know we're going to do it. But it's up to you guys. It's up to us. And we got this. That's what I've got for you guys. Let me know what you think, and I will see you on the next one.